This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show today. Today, we're going to have a special show and talk about a senior leader in DOD who's directing the finance and accounting, the accounting and finance policy, trying to find out what's going on within the Department of Defense. Donjet L. Gilmore, and we'll find out what the L stands for a little bit later on in the show. She's Director for Accounting and Finance Policy for the Office of Undersecretary of Defense, and she deals with a number of different things, and we're going to find out what her office is all about, and then we're going to also find out about her career. She's had a very stellar career throughout government and has an interesting story about how she got into government and what inspired her to get into government, and we'll be talking about that today. Donjet, how you doing today? Thank you for coming on Fed Access.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm doing fantastic.
Well, outstanding. You know, your office, I mean, we hear about finance and we hear about accounting and it deals with everything the Department of Defense does. I mean, the budgets, you know, everything really revolves around money. And I'm assuming that your office really has a handle on those different things. But because, you know, when we hear about defense, we think about the bombs and the bullets and everything else. But somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody got to keep account for it. What does your office deal with?
Well, primarily, my office has responsibility for the Department of Defense Financial Management Regulation, affectionately referred to as the DOD FMR. It's issued under the authority of DOD Instruction 7000.14, which is DOD Financial Management Policy and Procedures.
And with all of that, you know, when we think about the kind of the financial policies and procedures in your office, I mean, are you, especially being at the Secretary of Defense level, are you kind of dealing with all DOD agencies, sub-agencies? I mean, you know, how deep are you going when it comes to financial policy? And, you know, I mean, even kind of break down maybe a day-to-day for your office. What are you guys looking at?
We cover the whole spectrum. All of the DOD components look to the financial management regulation for details on systems, functions for all the appropriated and non-appropriated, working capital, revolving, and trust fund activities. A normal day, we get questions, we respond to them, we maintain and update the FMR, which, by the way, has 6,419 pages, 19 volumes.
And you've probably read each one of those, I'm sure.
Well, I have a fantastic, dedicated, and conscientious staff who helps me with reading and understanding of everything that's embodied.
Sure. With financial policy, is with DOD, in terms of understanding it, if someone had to understand the inner workings of we're looking at financial policy, are these set policies that are around for years and years and years, or are these policies constantly changing based on either the politics or maybe Congress has said something or a new budget passing? I mean, and are you involved in the whole dynamic of the passing or not even a passing, but are you involved in the budget of the Department of Defense for all the different agencies?
All of the above. We are involved in the day-to-day changes. There are suggestions that come in on how things should be written and what things should be added and what things should be deleted. I think one of the things that you touched on here that's very critical is that there's a standing body of policy that's out there. But we are also tied to authoritative sources like the Treasury Financial Manual, OMB, various other guidance that we put together and work from. And the FMR has, of course, the Department of Defense stand on it. So we make sure that we are tied into all of those authoritative sources and that it's written so that all of our components know what they should be doing and how they should be doing it, so that we're in total compliance with oversight and authority.
With the people who you have oversight and authority with, are you dealing with maybe chief financial officers of each one of the agencies? I mean, so for example, I just use a Defense Threat Reduction Agency as an example, or a National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which you came from, as an example. Are you dealing with all of the different people, the financial officers of these agencies, in terms of providing guidance with policy or something new comes out? How does that work?
Basically, what happens is that they are running their day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. and they have individuals who are doing their details, and they track back to us, sometimes ask clarifying questions. And, of course, Mr. Hale, who is the chief financial officer for the Department of Defense, has the overall responsibility for the financial policy. So working for him, we ensure that they are aware of what his expectations are for following all of the guidance and make sure that it's compliant. Now, one of the other things that you asked, we do work very closely with the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board and other agencies like Treasury and OMB. We work constantly with them on working groups to make sure that we are totally in sync with what their guidance is.
Mm-hmm. Are you also dealing with, everybody always talks about the defense budget as definitely being one of the biggest, or the biggest, in the federal government. Are you part of, dealing with the policy? Are you the one who's also making sure that money, and I know there's auditing groups and everything else, but do you have a hand in that, to making sure that money is spent wisely, or spent, I should not say wisely, but spent, the right way, that is audited and people are not necessarily abusing money or there's overspending or things like that? Do you have a hand in that as well?
Well, as a government employee, we all have a responsibility to be good stewards of taxpayers' funds that have been entrusted to us. But I'm not the one who has direct responsibility for the budget. We have a different shop under Mr. Hales who provides that oversight and that direction to the component.
Okay. So you're more on, and so you're dealing, as you're working with these offices, and you're dealing heavily with the policy and policy oversight to make sure that everybody's on the same page of following all the FMRs and any other kind of directories coming out of Treasury or OMB or anywhere else. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then with all of that, with your oversight piece, when you do see somebody possibly not necessarily following or the right procedures, what happens then? Is that where you guys step in?
Well, we don't so much get into the procedures.
Okay.
There's a line between operation and policy. We have a totally different group who has responsibility for the day-to-day operations, and that's more of how you do things.
Okay.
Why you do things is the policy side.
And so for you, in terms of the why you do things, really you're providing, making sure all this, the guidance is there about, hey, listen, this is why you're going to do this. And then are you helping the people who do it? You're just saying, listen, refer to such and such manual, refer to this policy, refer to, a CFR, this, that, and the other. Is that how that goes? Just so that people get a clear understanding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And one of the things I would like to tie into is the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board.
Mm-hmm.
We are represented there. I am the DOD representative to the Auditing and Accounting Policy Committee, which
okay.
has Ms. Wendy Payne as the executive director. And we work very closely with them because they are responsible for the overarching policy for the entire federal government.
When we come back, you rose through the ranks and now you're at this SES level. What I want to talk about, Donjette, I want to talk about your career and then talk about how you got started into government and, just the path that you took to get to this point right here, which I think would be very, very helpful for some other people to hear. about what's going on. So I want to talk about that when we get back, and then go into, if you don't mind, let's go into your history a little bit. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Outstanding. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We're talking to Donjet L. Gilmore. What's the L stand for, Donjet?
Loving.
Are you serious? That's what it stands for?
No, I'll just have the L, period.
We'll use L as loving. I like that. But we're talking to Donjet L. Gilmore. She is the Director of Accounting and Finance Policy for the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense. She deals with all of the, as I said, all the accounting and finance, anything, the FMRs or any other kind of financial policy that deals with Department of Defense. She deals with it and has oversight over that with all the other agencies. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Join AFSEA Bethesda in congratulating the 2012 Government-Wide Initiatives Excellence Awards recipients. Winners include Amy Taylor, Treasury, Financial Security and Fraud Detection Award, Prince Levy, IRS, Cooperative Research and Development Award, and David Alexander, DHS, Geospatial Award, as well as category winners from GSA, EPA, DOJ, and other government agencies. If you would like to get involved with AFSEA Bethesda, go to afseabethesda.org for more information. That's afseabethesda.org.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files in all these different formats, then 20 years later somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. May I help you?
Yeah, my car's entertainment system just isn't cutting it.
Easy answer. Get an HD radio receiver, 100% free digital sound, digital traffic, and great music choices from your local HD2, HD3 radio stations.
Well, what brands do you have?
Best Buy has new expanded HD radio inventory. Alpine, Kenwood, Pioneer, JVC, with prices as low as $120.
Wow, an HD radio digital entertainment center? Show me the way. HD radio, more value.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Here's Dr. Robert Norris, Chief Architect, NGA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization, sponsored by Red Hat.
Data can't go into the clouds unless it's correctly tagged. And NGA, as part of its new vision, has actually had a geospatial data architecture management initiative going on. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure that not only is the data correctly tagged, but we're coming up with new ways of tagging the information.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezor Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
There are a lot of virtualization solutions out there from proprietary companies, but they are expensive and lock you into long-term relationships with vendors that you might not want. But Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization is a highly secure, open-source platform for mission-critical workloads. Red Hat technology is based on open standards, so your IT future still belongs to you. And if you're ready to start cloud computing, this is the way to do it. 90% of public clouds already run on open source. This is Paul Smith from Red Hat, and if you want to learn more from the open source leader, check us out at redhat.com/virtualized.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Join me this week for my special guest, Mike Baker of the Baker Parekh Group at Morgan Stanley. He'll talk about his special retirement planning tools. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Registration is now open for the all-new Management of Change event. featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security, and a future technology expo, June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov.org/managementofchange.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about accounting and finance policy, and we're talking to the Director of Accounting and Finance Policy for the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense, Danja L. Gilmore. The L stands for loving, as she has told us. We'll just hold it right there. But we're talking about her, and we're talking about her role within the Department of Defense. But what we're going to do right now is kind of get into her background about how she got started and you know, rose up the ranks, you know, up to this SES spot right here. Danjet, I know we talked a long time ago. You really grabbed this story, and I was in your office, and I saw pictures of President Kennedy and everything else. You know, how did you get started within government service? I mean, what was your starting point, and what was that whole tie-in with one of your heroes, President Kennedy?
Well, Derek, I was inspired at a very young age to government service. I was in the fourth grade in Montgomery, Alabama, at Hale Elementary School, and I had an assignment, and we were asked to explain a statement that was made by President Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And being that young, we weren't real sure what it meant. But Mrs. Williams explained to us the importance of service. And from that day on, I knew what I wanted to do with my life and my career. I knew I had to work hard. I had to go to college. I had to graduate with good grades. And then I looked for the right position. And it happened to be with the Air Force. I started there as an auditor, and I moved up through the ranks and moved to Dayton, Ohio, then was asked to move to San Antonio, did that, and always striving for excellence.
And you entered government service at what period? I mean, I'm not trying to date you or anything like that, Danjet, but you entered at what period of time?
In 1986.
And that was, I mean, for you, when you kind of knew about government service kind of coming out of, and after you heard what President Kennedy said, and you really had that thrill, you already knew that you wanted to be a civil servant, and you kind of came out of college, you know, with that mindset that I want to work for the government. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I thought there was no greater way to dedicate my life and to serve than to be in public service. And I feel that way today.
Hmm. You know, you started out at the Air Force as an auditor. I mean, did you have, you know, and I think this may be helpful, did you have it in your mindset that you wanted to rise up to the senior levels of government? Or when you got in, you were kind of just brand new and just kind of trying to feel your way around? I mean, where did you go with it?
I was blessed to have a mentor who explained to me what the process was, and encouraged me and let me know that you too can achieve this. So I knew about the senior executive service, and I understood that high expectations were there, and that if you were persistent, you worked hard, and you delivered results, that you would be successful, and you could play a role in the senior executive service.
You know, you just hit on something really, really important, and I sometimes talk to people about this, about mentorship, you know, and a lot of times that's that crucial point. I mean, how do you feel like that was that crucial and critical element of your career, that if you didn't have that mentor, you may be kind of lost and just kind of, you know, a lot of people sometimes don't ever really succeed the way they want to succeed because they don't have somebody who's, you know, showing them the way. Do you feel like that's really important for people in their careers?
I believe it's critical. As the first African-American female in that office, This gentleman took me under his wing and helped shape and mold and guide me and give me direction. And I consider myself very blessed to have someone who was willing to invest time in me so that I could be the best that I could be.
You know, with all of that, and would you recommend somebody, given that critical element? And, you know, some agencies, you know, there are established mentorship programs, and other agencies, not necessarily. For you, and you've kind of seen it all, and I want to kind of keep on talking about your career as you kind of move past the Air Force, but would you recommend for someone who is either just starting out in the federal government or someone who's a mid-level, if they didn't have anybody who took them under their wing, do you look for somebody? Do you try? I mean, what would you recommend for somebody who, especially given mentorship is so crucial? What would you think?
Look for someone. Okay. Seek someone out. Ask them to be your mentor.
Does it necessarily have to be within the agency, or should you go outside your agency? I mean, you know, how aggressive should you be with this?
Aggressive enough that they know that you're serious about it. And when someone comes to me, and I literally had someone to come to me yesterday who's in another agency and approached me and sat down and chatted with me and told me what their dreams and aspirations were. And if you're willing to ask, you will find someone who's willing to serve as your mentor.
Hmm. A lot of people seem like they're, and maybe that's something that people need to hear, that people seem hesitant to ask for help or hesitant to ask, you know, for somebody to be a mentor, or they think they can do it themselves. I mean, what have you found? Is that a wrong approach?
I think it's less than successful if you do not ask. It's very important to go out and ask someone because they're very busy.
Right.
Yes, they are, but they're never too busy to assist you because no one reached the level to where they are today without someone being a mentor, whether it's seen or unseen.
Sure, sure. As you went through the Air Force, you went through the auditing track and kind of kept on going from there. Keep on going with your story. I mean, where did you kind of go? Did you rise up through the ranks of the Air Force, or what was next?
Yes, I did. I felt like I had the uniform on, and a lot of times when I tell people about how I progressed through the Air Force Audit Agency, they think that I was in uniform, but I wasn't. I actually was a civilian. I went from a 7 up through the 12, which is the working grade, the journeyman status, and which I achieved before the GS-12 grade. And then I became an audit manager and took on greater responsibility as a supervisory auditor, where I had about 11 offices under my responsibility. And then I went to Kelly Air Force Base, where I was assigned to a location that was BRAC, and I was an office chief there, and helped shut that office down successfully, placing all of the individuals in positions, and eventually selected for GS-15, and I was Director of Policy, Oversight, and Systems, and dual-hatted as the Deputy Assistant Auditor General for Operations.
Okay.
And finished doing that, implemented systems, did quite a few stints there, and ended up going back out to the field at Brooks City Base, where I was the Associate Director of Policy for Personnel and Training, and was also the chairman of the Air Force Workforce Diversity Advisory Committee. One of the things that I strive for and expect and never ask anyone to do more than I was willing to give was give me your best.
Mm-hmm.
Strive for excellence. And we achieved it. I've always been blessed to have one of the hardest working teams in the Air Force, and that was at any location that I went to and any role that I was in. And still keep in touch with a lot of them. I'm still mentor to several of the individuals who were there.
You know, Donja, and we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I mean, you've hit on a couple of points that I think people need to understand about their careers. I mean, one, it seemed as if you took on some different roles and responsibilities to kind of learn a lot more about the inner workings of an agency, the inner workings of other duties and response and other roles of oversight and management. It sounds as if you, and then you also sounds, it sounds as if you made some moves. You moved around to different locations and weren't afraid to maybe take a risk of moving around and getting exposure at either new bases or new locations, new positions. It sounds as if you did those things. I want to talk about that and how the impact of your career in doing that, and maybe some advice that somebody can get out of that about maybe taking that risk or taking on new roles and responsibilities. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Donjette L. Gilmore. She is the director of Accounting and Finance Policy at the Office of Under Secretary of Defense. And she's over there in the Virginia area over by the Pentagon. And they have the responsibility of all oversight of financial policy for many of the for all the DOD agencies. We're talking about her career and talking about the work she's done in the government. We're kind of profiling her today on Fed Access, and we'll be right back after this break.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Hey, Jamie, who sings that song? Whoa, piece of bread.
That can't possibly be a real song.
No, it is. We heard it on the car radio this morning.
Matt, we really need to get HD radio so you can hear song lyrics better. Actually, we should get a Kia Sorento with the Yuvo infotainment system and HD radio. This way you can hear all your corny lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality, and I can listen to good music on all the extra FM HD2 and HD3 stations it offers. Now sing that song again to me.
Whoa.
Voice-activated Yuvo infotainment system with HD radio. Now available in the Kia Sorento.
The American Veterans Center invites you to the 2012 National Memorial Day Parade, presented by Boeing, Monday, May 28th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join veterans groups, musical performers, hundreds of active duty troops, and celebrity veterans and supporters of the military, including Gary Sinise, Miss America 2012, and Grand Marshal and Air Force legend General Chuck Yeager. The parade is presented by Boeing, with additional support from the Association of American Railroads and many other generous sponsors. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality, instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
What is transformational leadership? How have government leaders successfully led transformations and what they considered before undertaking such initiatives? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these questions and much more with Bob Reasoner, author of the recent IBM Center report, A Leader's Guide to Transformation, on the Business of Government Hour.
Recently, UnitedHealthcare was selected to serve the families in the TRICARE West region, and we want those who we will serve to know more about us. UnitedHealthcare is part of a company of over 115,000 people, serving over 75 million Americans nationwide. Our people work hard to be a trusted healthcare partner for all of our members, and we're proud of our track record of quality service. The American Medical Association ranks us number one in claims processing accuracy among the seven leading commercial health insurers for 2011. J.D. Power & Associates names us number one in its employer satisfaction survey. And Fortune magazine has named us its most admired health insurer 2 years in a row. As provider for the members of TRICARE West, our people will work every day to put our unmatched provider network, industry-leading innovations, and passion for service to work for you. We are UnitedHealthcare. And for us, the chance to help military families isn't just a job, it's an honor. UnitedHealthcare.
can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Our brains are complex computing machines that make us who we are, yet we really know very little about how they're wired. Scientists have lots of images showing brain cells called neurons and their connections called synapses, but Randall Burns, an engineer at Johns Hopkins, says diagramming how those pieces fit together is a huge job.
This is 100 trillion neurons, each of which connects to thousands or tens of thousands of other neurons.
He's taking on the first step.
Our project is storing massive amounts of data.
Because if all those brain images can be accessed from one place, it might be easier to figure out how our brains are built.
Someone will have the best technique to find synapses, and someone will have the best technique to connect different cells together.
Allowing a team approach to this massive puzzle that is our brain. To find out more, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're having an interesting conversation with one of our senior executives in the federal government right now. She's the Director of Accounting and Finance Policy for the Office of Undersecretary of Defense, Danjette L. Gilmore. And she is talking to us about, well, she's already talked to us about her work at DOD, but now she's talking to us about her career. And she's mentioned some interesting points and really points that people need to pick up about mentorship. Being engaged and doing your best and striving for excellence in your workplace and really being about service. It seems as if a passion for service is really, really important. Danjette, would you go along with what I just said that, you know, you mentioned that you started out and really knew that you wanted to be a civil servant at a young age. Would you say that people who go into federal service need to have that passion?
Absolutely. Anything that you do in life, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And I can't think of anything more noble than federal service.
And you still feel that way after these many years?
I get up every day looking forward to going in and serving.
Wow. You know, we were talking about your career. You started off with the Air Force. And, as I was listening, I heard interesting dynamics. You moved around to different locations, different bases, and you took on a lot of different responsibilities and other duties that weren't just necessarily auditing or financial. You took on different assignments. What's your thoughts? I mean, what's been your experience? I mean, how beneficial was that? Did you think those were risky moves? Just as you've gone through your career, what did you learn about doing these kind of things?
Well, there's the old saying that there's no guts, there's no glory. And I did learn how important it was to be willing to go out and get depth and breadth of experience.
Wow. Go ahead. No, finish.
I had an opportunity to work with the Coalition Provisional Inspector General's Office, which was a stand-up of an inspections policy and oversight in Iraq, and I was already a GS-15, tenured, had opportunity to do some other things, but again, I saw this as an opportunity to serve, and I raised my hand and moved to Washington, D.C. from San Antonio, Texas, and went back and forth to Iraq and set up the hotline. We were told we needed to do it in 30 days. We did it in 22 days. And basically, we had visibility and oversight over the $18.4 billion that was set aside to rebuild Iraq.
And this was kind of just this kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, and you were the person at that moment in time who, like you said, raised your hand and took the challenge, huh?
Yes. And it was an extraordinary experience.
You know, as you look back, and maybe we can need to talk about that experience a little bit more, but as you look back upon your career, what I'm hearing is that you've got to, like you mentioned, you've got to take some risk out there. And even though, would you say for yourself, and, you know, as you look back in maybe the younger years, were you prepared for everything, or did you sometimes just say, you know what, I may not be completely ready, but I've still got to go ahead and jump into it, and I'll get ready as I go along? I mean, what was your philosophy that helped you get to where you are today?
Well, I'm a very detailed-oriented person. I am dedicated. I leave nothing to chance. So I do research. I talk to mentors, and I evaluate and make assessments. So they are calculated risks, but I think sometimes we often sell ourselves short because we're not willing to take the risk. We normally have a lot more skills and abilities than we give ourselves credit for. So with the reservoir of experience that I had already gained throughout my career, I felt comfortable taking those risks.
Do you feel like the government, in terms of, you know, and you're a proud civil servant, did you take advantage of government training? Did you know, I mean, in your career, did you take advantage of all the different kind of training that the government had to offer you in order to get you prepared as well?
Yes, I did. I went to Air Command and Staff College. Went to the Professional Military Comptroller School. Went to Air War College, had the opportunity to go to Harvard, went to the Air Force Senior Leadership Training. When I was in the intelligence community, I went to their Senior Intelligence Service School. And also, as an executive, senior executive, I've been to DOD's APEX and also the DOD Joint Executive Management Program. I'd like to add that some of these training opportunities were done on my own time. Air War College and Air Command and Staff College. You're not always selected for these premier schools, but there are other alternatives if you're willing to work outside of normal business hours.
Okay. I mean, that's an important point, because sometimes people feel like, you know, well, you know, government needs to send me, and if I can't do it during my government time, then, you know, I'm not going to do it. And what I'm hearing you say is that in order to really, really be that, you know, senior level person that you are today, you had to, you know, do things off on your own time. You had to seek out these other opportunities.
Correct. Even earning my MBA, it was all done after hours.
You know, for you, and as we go into the last segment, I want to maybe talk about the Iraq story a little bit more, but you got into the intelligence community, I think. Was that after the Air Force? Is that when you moved into the intelligence community?
Yeah, okay. That was after the Air Force.
And that's when you went over to National Geospatial? Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How was that? I mean, talk to us about that experience when you moved over.
When I moved over to NGA, they were looking for someone to help prepare them for the financial statement audit. So I was brought over as their person to get them ready. And that was an extraordinary opportunity. They had an idea of where they wanted to go, but they needed someone to help them develop a financial improvement and audit readiness plan. So I did that, and the rest is history. I ended up coming over to OSC Comptroller, being recognized by the individuals in the FAR office there for the work that I had done over at NGA.
You know, you've been in different things in different places. Would you say, and your work has been recognized, would you say that your work was recognized, and I know you did good work, but there's a lot of people in government who feel like, I do good work, but I'm not being recognized. And I guess what I'm asking is, you know, did you make sure that people recognized, or you know, were you just connected with the right people? I mean, what advice would you give to that person who feels like, you know, I'm doing good work, but I'm not necessarily being recognized the way I should be?
Well, my advice would be to do a good job because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
the recognition may not come immediately, but it will come eventually.
Hmm. So if you stay on course and you keep on doing that good work, somebody eventually is going to pay attention to what you're doing.
Well, they will, and sometimes I don't want to mislead anyone. Sometimes you won't be recognized for the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to be persistent,
mm-hmm.
and to do everything with integrity. Do it for service.
For those people who are in federal work, it sounds as if you're saying that, you know, those people, this unique job and kind of the noble profession that you kind of talked about, that the people in federal service should really be about not just getting a job. It should really be about that you're here because you believe in the country and you believe in being a civil servant and you believe in the passion of the work that the government does. And that's that recognition right there.
That is. It's about service.
We're going to keep on talking to Donja L. Gilmore. She is the Director of Accounting and Finance Policy at the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense. We're going to talk a little bit more about her stories and her success. What happened in Iraq was an interesting story, and I want to kind of go into that before we have to close out the show because it's an interesting story. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
At the Jeep brand, we've been on active duty for over 70 years, in conditions you can imagine and some you can't. And like our soldiers, we never shy away from a challenge. So we'd like to honor our armed forces' outstanding service during the Jeep military event. Get $1,000 total military bonus cash toward a new 2012 Jeep vehicle. After so much time and service to others, we're giving our soldiers the recognition they deserve. Jeep.
Plus, right now, get 0% APR financing on the 2012 Jeep Compass and Jeep Patriot. Offer available to active military, military reserve, retired military, and retired military reserve with honorable discharge and 20 years of service within 6 months of discharge date on a retail purchase or lease. Excludes SRT models. See dealer for details. Financing for well-qualified buyers through Ally Financial. Not all buyers will qualify. Must take retail delivery by 5/31/12. Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, AFMA has proudly served the U.S. Armed Forces community. We're more than just great life insurance for the military family. We're your guide through life's challenges by offering the right products at the right time for the best price. Our Survivor Assistance Services team provides compassionate and caring advice and assistance for your family at a most critical time. At AFMA, we understand the many challenges that military families can face during their service and after the loss of a loved one. As a nonprofit membership association, AFMA always focuses on what's best for you. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for all military personnel and the best services for survivors. And it also means offering policies with no war or aviation clauses. For a free life insurance quote, call a membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or visit us online at AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files in all these different formats, then 20 years later somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the Yuvo infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my Yuvo screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio, now available in the Kia Optima.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family? Or at the beach or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android Market or Apple App Store, or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight for May is the Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure. Save lives in Arlington. Save lives in Rockville. Save lives in Georgetown. One goal, save lives of women fighting breast cancer in Washington and beyond. Join the mission to save lives and join the Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure on June 2nd. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Hey, this is Amtower, host of Amtower Off-Center. Start your week off with a dose of reality, Amtower style. Monday afternoons at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you want to know what it takes to do business with the federal government, my show is required listening. I've been around the block, and I call it like I see it. That's Amtower Off-Center. Monday afternoons at noon here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking to Danja L. Gilmore. She's Director of Accounting and Finance Policy for the Office of Undersecretary of Defense. And we're talking to her about the work she has done at the Office of Secretary of Defense, but we're also talking to her about her career. She's a senior executive, an African-American senior executive. As you go up to those crowds, that's a smaller number. And maybe we can even talk about that, Danjette, about you kind of leading and getting into those dynamics of being a woman African-American in the senior executive and going through that, and what advice you may have for others who are trying to get there. You had an interesting story about you were at the right place, the right time, where you kind of led this Iraq effort, overseeing the 18.4 billion. Is that correct?
Right. That was the amount that was set aside to help rebuild Iraq.
And were you in charge of the oversight of that, or what was your role?
Well, my role was the Assistant Inspector General for Inspections, Policy, and Oversight. The Inspector General at that time, and still is Mr. Stuart Bowen, and I reported to him.
And with that, you guys were, when you kind of were take this challenge, I mean, because you kind of mentioned that you raised your hand and you said, I want to take this opportunity. I mean, what were you tasked out to do? What was the mission?
The primary mission at that time was to establish a hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And that hotline would capture any complaints from Iraqi citizens, government, contractors, or anyone who was involved with the rebuilding of Iraq. And this was back in the 2005-2004 time frame. And we were charged with ensuring that policies were in place. We did inspections. And there were a myriad of things that were going on during that time, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
In the green zone, and also during that time, there was a turnover from the government, U.S. government, to the government of Iraq, the control of the country of Iraq. And that happened, actually, I was in country when that occurred.
You know, people probably think about, of course, in Iraq, and yours is kind of a testament to how many other pieces of the government are working in kind of dangerous locations. You know, you're dealing with, you know, the money. You're dealing with kind of making sure this hotline is set up in order to track money or really track any complaints about the rebuilding process or maybe abuse of money and things like that. But you had to be right there in the green zone, but you had to be in country as well in order to set these things up. And so I think it's a testament to that it's not just the combatants who are out there, but it's a number of civilians who work for Department of Defense or other agencies who are also on the ground doing this dangerous work.
Absolutely. And again, it was all about service and supporting our troops because they're at the tip of the spear. And I recall vividly traveling over to Iraq and some of our young men and women who were there guarding and taking care. I mean, they're 18, 19, and 21-year-olds. And we would put together gift packages. And I always remember one of the things that we made sure we had in those packages was Kool-Aid. Because they couldn't get Kool-Aid over there. And bless their hearts, they were so excited when you would get there and you'd hand off the care packages and they would see the Kool-Aid.
You know, we've got about a minute left, and I want you to just give some advice, you know, to and not to you know, pull anybody out, but I think it's important, especially for diversity in the ranks of government. What is your advice, women, African-Americans, or diverse, you know, all diverse, Latin Americans, Hispanics, Arab Americans, whoever, but what's your advice in terms of those individuals rising to the higher ranks of government? You know, in a minute or so, just break it down. What would be the best thing you could tell them?
My advice is that first, you are a servant and a leader, and always give your best, do it with integrity, and never, ever give up. You can live the dream. And we live in a great country, and realize that greatness doesn't mean perfection. But if you're a part of it, you can make a difference.
Some powerful words to leave off with. Donjette L. Gilmore, she is Director of Accounting and Finance Policy at the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense. Thank you so much for your service, you know, to our country for all these years, Air Force, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, now here at the working in this role of, in the Office of Undersecretary of Defense. And thank you for going to Iraq and other things you've done. And thank you for kind of really reinforcing that message that if you're going to be a civil servant, that you need to be passionate about the work of serving and serving the people and serving our country. Thank you so much, Donjette.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD. Your source for federal news now.